Welcome to the seventh episode of All Things Crypto, an Elk Finance podcast. I'm Shiloh, also known as LT Snake Plissken.
And I am Fareed.
Today we're talking all about arbitrage.
Please keep in mind we are not financial advisors and this is not a financial advice. If you're looking for a financial advice, please find a licensed advisor in your area.
Our mission in this Elk Finance podcast is to provide people resources. If you're interested in crypto and DeFi, you want to give our catalog a listen. We talk about a lot of different things, stablecoins, Elk, today, arbitrage.
As mentioned, today's topic is arbitrage. We're going to talk about what arbitrage is, how does it work, why is it important to crypto, and most importantly, how can you do the arbitrage?
Yeah, so if we get something wrong, please let us know. We welcome your feedback. We're here to learn, share ideas, and you can share that feedback with us directly on our Telegram. You can find that at t.me/elk_finance_chat, and that will be in the podcast description.
Perfect. Let's start here. What is arbitrage?
Well, basically, arbitrage is buying something for a low price and selling the same thing somewhere else for a higher price. Now, usually this is going to refer to a financial market. A good real life example here is, let's take the US dollar mm-hmm. and the Canadian dollar. Now they're worth different amounts and that exchange rate, of course, moves and changes. But if I go to one bank, let's say I go to the Bank of America, I'm going to get a different price for the Canadian dollar maybe than I would if I went to a Canadian bank like Royal Bank, let's say. And it might actually be, you know, a thousandth of a cent cheaper to buy at, let's say, the Canadian dollar to buy it at Bank of America. And you might notice that the price is a thousandth of a cent, you know, more expensive than that at a Canadian bank. So we buy it at the cheap price and we go to the other bank and we sell it for the more expensive price. Thus, we gain whatever that difference is.
So you're telling me that there is no risk because you're just selling in a different market, but the product or commodity you're selling is the same.
Right. In terms of that amount, there is probably very little risk when you're talking about finances. The dollars aren't going to, you know, skyrocket and drop as we're used to in cryptocurrency, right? Though the risks are different. With this, it's really hard to do because all of this trading is now done by computers. And so if there is a slight difference there, banks usually stick at the same rate, and you won't be able to run to one bank physically and run to the other and buy it and sell it in good time because a computer is going to beat you and those markets are going to be affected. And also what happens is when I buy enough of this Canadian dollar and, you know, I go to sell it, if I buy the Canadian dollar with the US dollar, on one side, that's actually going to increase the price of the Canadian dollar. Mm-hmm. When I go to sell it, yeah, I'm talking about, you know, if I'm buying $1 billion worth, you know, a large amount.
Large amount, yeah.
Right, the markets are going to adjust. And then when I go to sell the Canadian dollar on the other one, where it's more expensive, it's going to drop the price.
That's right.
Right? So in a way, if there were different prices at different banks, even by going and doing this, you would kind of make all the prices even and you would take that difference. But again, that's what these computers often do, and people will try to do. Though, you know, it's you need, like I said, like
a large
millions
amount
of dollars, right? To make, you know, then you
billions
might make
billions or trillions.
Yeah, well, yeah, and like, and it might even be hard to make a trade that big. Like
that's
it,
right.
You know, so you'd have to know some people. You know, and the thing is, like, even if I had $2 million, I might make like $5,000. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, $5,000 is $5,000. Let's, you know, not sugarcoat it for you and I. That's a lot of money.
It is.
But if you've got $2 million you're putting up, you know, that's not a huge gain on that.
That's true.
So that's basically what arbitrage is, and you can kind of see how that applies to crypto. It's not something that's really done too much anymore by the average person.
That's right, because you need quite a bit of capital.
Right.
And you need to be very fast, you know, because the computers, they figure it out, the algorithm, they figure it out really quickly, and they get rid of the price difference really quickly.
Yeah, and so this type of arbitrage where we buy at one place and we sell at another is just called something called spatial arbitrage. It's, you know, you just look at, it's generally geographical. So you look at different prices in geographically different markets, and you buy on from one country, sell to the other, you know, hence geographically, spatially, right? Mm-hmm. I.e. space. Now, arbitrage can actually get a lot more complicated. There's a bunch of other types. Now, we're going to focus on spatial arbitrage, as well as triangular arbitrage, where you might actually go through three different things to make your trades. And we'll get into that. And that's something that actually ends up happening with crypto that you have to do a lot of the time, especially when we're talking about ELK.
So now we understand what arbitrage is. What is arbitrage in the context of a crypto?
Right. So different exchanges, and I'm talking about centralized, decentralized exchanges, sometimes have different prices for the same token. And, you know, for the big blue chip tokens, and blue chip, I mean, you know, things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Chainlink, Uniswap, those kind of tokens, you know, are generally closer in price mm-hmm. nowadays. Usually the prices vary a lot for a smaller token that might be on a few different decentralized exchanges or centralized exchanges. So a good example here would be if I'm on the Avalanche chain and I am using both the, you know, ELK exchange mm-hmm. and the Trader Joe exchange. And I see that on ELK's app, I can trade, you know, Bitcoin, like I can trade, I don't know, Bitcoin is worth $61,000 on the ELK DEX. And then I go and I look at, I go look at Trader Joe's site, and I see it's worth, each Bitcoin's worth, you know, $62,000. Mm-hmm. So I notice that difference, and I buy the Bitcoin on ELK's decentralized exchange, right?
That's right.
And it goes into my wallet. Then I navigate on over to Trader Joe, and I sell it for $62,000, gaining a profit of $1,000. Now, that's oversimplified because as I'm buying that much Bitcoin, the price floor is going to go up, especially if the supply isn't there. And if you want more detail on that, I would check out our episode on liquidity providing and how that all works. But basically, if there's not enough Bitcoin to buy and the pool isn't super deep, then it'll have a big price impact. You won't end up getting as good of a deal, but you can preview that by putting it into the decentralized exchange and seeing how much you'd get. And usually you would get what it says if you're quick enough.
So the question that comes up here is, how do you identify an arbitrage opportunity? Because you're saying that it's not that simple. Your example was very nice. I really understand what that means in the context of crypto. But how do I know that I should get into it or not?
Right. So knowing whether you should get into arbitrage or not. Well, I mean, I guess you have to have enough capital for the arbitrage to be worth it, right?
Okay.
And not only that, you need some way to monitor the prices accurately. And the thing is, if there is a bot usually monitoring these prices, chances are there's already an algorithm, a computer, that's making those trades for you, right? Or for mm-hmm. them. So, and that's taking away your opportunity to arbitrage. No.
So you're telling me that this is one of those things that you see the opportunity to jump on it.
Yeah, you got to take it if you're ready for the risk, which we will get into, right? With these blue chip tokens I mentioned, like Bitcoin, chances are it won't be more expensive to sell, more expensive or less expensive to buy on one and more expensive to sell on the other, because usually they share this price information through oracles like Chainlink and stuff like that. Just because you can buy it for a certain price or sell it for a certain price or buy it for a certain price, that doesn't mean it'll sell at that same price, because price impact is important. So we got to do this with, you know, certain tokens on certain exchanges. And you're going to have enough to be able to make it worth it, like I said. Elk is a great example of arbitrage. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I mentioned before about how when you buy on one chain, the price goes up,
yeah.
How you sell on the other and the price goes down, right? With Elk, we're on, you know, at the time of recording, 12 different chains, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got Elk sometimes varying a few cents or more on any of those 12 chains, just a little bit as we're getting started, for example, right? Now, what we know is arbitrage, will come into play because we can use the ElkNet. We can transfer Elk one-to-one across these different chains. So we can actually move our Elk over to where it might be worth more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tricky part is we have to use other methods to cash out our Elk on one chain, get it over, not using ElkNet, to the chain where it's cheaper to buy it, right?
And that's right.
So when we sell it on the chain where it's really high, when it's $3.05, let's say we sell 1,000 Elk, might go down to 303 cents, $3.03. Mm-hmm. And then we go over to where it's $2.85 on another chain. And when we finally take a route there, we go to buy it, that might increase its price by 5 cents. So now it's 290 and 303, and the difference narrows. That's great, because what we want is Elk to be the same on every chain.
But does this mean that these windows of opportunities are very short? So you can't really do arbitrage forever?
Yeah, it really depends. And the reason that the windows are a little bit longer on Elk, A, nobody's figured out, or very few people have figured out how profitable it is. And let me tell you, if you got enough, it is pretty profitable. And secondly, the routes are really complicated. So it's not as easy for a program or a computer to take these routes, because there's a lot of manual things we have to do, and they will figure it out, especially if it's profitable. So this can really, really help. And what you got to do is you got to become familiar with different routes.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me walk, like, if you're mind boggled right now and you're like, what are you talking about? How do I do it? I thought ElkNet was the thing that got you to different chains. I'll slow down for a second. Because yes, you can transfer Elk anywhere. You can buy Elk, transfer it across, and sell it, and you can move across chains that way. But you can also use that to take your Elk, buy it where it's cheap, again, send it over to where it's more expensive, sell it where it's more expensive, and you can repeat that until the prices are even and you no longer make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do we do that?
That is the question.
Right, so let me walk you through a process. Now, it's different for each chain. Now, you got to get to know a lot of the chains that Elk is on. And you got to know the route, you know, the route, the direction to go to convert one token into another.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you want to minimize, you know, the amount of fees you're paying. So, for example, let's take Avalanche and Polygon.
Okay.
Let's say Avalanche Elk is worth $3.05 and Polygon Elk is worth $2.95.
Okay.
So what I would do is, let's say I've got my Elk on Polygon. the first thing I would do is I would use ElkNet to transfer my Elk in 7 seconds from Polygon to Avalanche. As long as things go smoothly, we're good to go.
Okay.
So I've got that same Elk one for one. I've got, you know, let's say 1,000 Elk on Polygon that I've now moved 1,000 Elk to Avalanche for the price of gas. Now I notice, so I sell that 1,000 Elk for, you know, ease of math. What's that? 1,000 Elk at $3.05. You're the math guy.
Oh, it is $3,050.
$3,050. All right. So I sell it for $3,050. And then, now what do I sell it for? Well, you're going to sell it for AVAX, right? So now there's already one complication. You've got to know how much that AVAX is worth.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get it wrong and think that the, you know, just rely on what the price is being relayed as. So you can use a tracker like CoinGecko or something to type in the amount of AVAX that it shows you that it's going to preview when you sell 1,000 Elk. Is it $3,050 worth of AVAX? I don't know. Check on CoinGecko, or better yet, check on an exchange, on a centralized or decentralized exchange. Input the number on that exchange for that amount of AVAX to, let's say, USDT or USDC, whatever has most liquidity, and get a price of how much that would be. Gives you an idea of what you're actually getting.
Okay.
Right? So, okay. When I realized that, yes, that is worth more, and I verified that, yes, it's cheaper on Polygon, I would then sell it on AVAX, for AVAX. You always sell Elk for the native chain token. So it means if you're on Phantom, you sell it for Phantom. If you're on AVAX, sell it for AVAX. On Polygon, you sell it for Matic.
Okay.
And so on and so forth. And keep in mind, I'll get back to this later. So back to the process. So you sell it for AVAX, and it's $3,050 worth of AVAX. Now, I need a way to convert that AVAX into Matic, because I'm going to go buy it on Polygon with Matic. So what I'm going to do is I might take that AVAX and send it to my exchange wallet on, let's say, KuCoin, right?
Okay.
Personally, I'll do that, and I'll go on there, and that'll take, you know, could be 5 minutes to send it. Exchanges are slow. It's not like Elk.
Okay.
It takes a while. So
yeah, I thought that is like instant.
Yeah, it's not. The transactions are instant, but the exchange has to verify them.
Okay.
Right? So then on when I'm on the exchange, I then sell. I need to sell the AVAX, and I need to get Polygon. But I can't just sell AVAX for Polygon. I've actually got to sell AVAX for USDT, the US stablecoin.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there is a USDT Matic pair. So then I have to buy Matic with USDT. Right?
That's
so
right.
I'm going to incur a few fees on the way, right? So we got to make sure that it's worth it. You're going to minus a few bucks when you're doing it, something like this. So then I send it to the exchange. I buy USDT with my AVAX, then I sell the USDT and I buy Matic.
That's right.
Right? Then I can withdraw my Matic back to my MetaMask on the Polygon network. Right? So now I'm on the Polygon chain with Matic.
One of the things which we have, if we have so much volatility happening in a market, let's say in a Matic, Polygon,
yeah,
there's a chance that you're going to lose what you were planning to gain here.
It can move the market. It can happen where the price does change. If you're quick enough in 5 minutes, it's usually okay. I haven't run into too many problems.
Okay.
Though it can happen, right? So I withdraw to my Matic wallet, my Polygon wallet, and I would buy Elk for that amount of Matic. And, you know, I would know right away when I put it into the decentralized exchange that it is going to be more Elk, right?
That's right.
I would even calculate that before I even did it. I would look at, okay, how much AVAX is that? How much is the AVAX worth? Okay, $3,050. Okay. And then I would take that $3,050 and I'd say, okay, let's actually take 10 bucks off for fees and say it's $3,040 of Matic, and I go to the Elk decentralized exchange on Polygon, and I type in that amount of Matic that comes up, I make sure that's going to be more ELK before I even do any of this, right?
That's right.
Right?
So you're just doing your calculations to make sure that there is something at the end of the whole process you go through.
Right.
I just want to highlight this for listeners. Time is an essence.
Yes.
You can't really say, oh, you know what? I just move it to Matic and just, I don't know, go have a burger or see my mom and just come home and finish this.
Yeah.
This is very important because you're exposed in different fronts, you know, because you're just, I don't know, doing a lot of conversions here. The second thing is volatility sometimes can just eat your lunch.
Absolutely.
And that is another thing which is, I don't know, that means that it's not guaranteed that you're going to make money here.
Right. Yeah, and those prices can change, and exchanges are notorious for delays. So you got to be really careful, and you got to be
quick. You're saying it notoriously bad for kind of doing the exchanges. What is a typical duration? Is it 5-10 minutes, or have you seen longer than that?
Depends on the exchange. Like, you can even get few transactions that arrive within 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then you'll get one that just gets stuck and it seems to be processing forever, and you're like, oh my gosh, my arbitrage opportunity, right? So you got to be prepared for that, because that might happen, where you go and the exchange holds it and they're processing. And that's one of the downfalls of centralized exchanges.
So when you're talking about holding it, is it, I don't know, if it is too big of an exchange that happens, or is it a random thing?
It's random, because you can look in the block explorer, like on the blockchain itself, and you can see that it's went through. But that centralized exchange, because they're just one entity, sometimes they're notorious for errors. They don't have smart contracts that do everything right all the time, so there's all these delays sometimes, and they often don't want you know some exchanges want to make it harder for you to withdraw into a decentralized environment, because that's competition. So
that's right,
you know,
everybody's there to make money.
That's right. So yeah, you've got to do all those calculations beforehand, and it gets tricky too, because, you know, if you've got all these new chains that we've not heard of that we launched on relatively recently, things like HOO, right? How the heck do you get who? And like, what happens if the price is really high on AVAX and AVAX ELK, and you got to get over to who ELK? How do you do that? Well, you got to find your route, right? So it might be, you know, you sell for AVAX on the AppDex or even Trader Joe. It might be a better price there. You got to check. You sell for AVAX, and then you need to know that you would take your AVAX and send it to KuCoin. Then you might trade it for BNB on KuCoin, USDT to BNB. And then you know that this WHO exchange, where you can get their token, their native token, takes BNB, right? So you trade it for BNB, send the BNB over, trade the BNB for USDT, and then trade the USDT for WHO, and then take the WHO and send it to the WHO chain and buy ELK.
But one of the things which is really interesting in this very complicated process you're trying to explain here to me is, if we know that these opportunities existing for newer tokens.
Right.
Because, you know what, the bots, they haven't figured out yet.
Yes. Yeah.
How the heck should I know how I should exchange it?
Like the roots?
Yeah. How can I find the roots?
You got to play around. You got to look at which centralized exchanges or which bridges. Xpollinate is a wonderful bridge, but you can only bridge across stablecoins. So you have an extra step in there, right? If you're bridging between AVAX and Phantom ELK, right, you're going to have to sell, you know, maybe your ELK for USDT on Trader Joe, let's say. Or, you know, and you got to figure out where you can get the most USDT for your buck. Do you sell your ELK for AVAX on the ELK DEX, then sell the AVAX for USDT or USDC on Trader Joe? Then you can go to the Xpollinate bridge, send that USDC over to Phantom. Okay, well, now you need Phantom, because maybe if you bought ELK directly with USDC that you sent over, the price impact would be too high, the pool's not deep enough. you have to get to the native chain token. Mm-hmm. So then you have to go on Spooky Swap and then trade for Phantom. Then you can go to the Elk decks and buy Elk with the Phantom, right? So you got to find these routes just by playing around.
Oh, man, that sounds really stressful. That would be just like being a stress, and it's just like, where should I go?
Yeah, exactly. And you got to be really careful when you're copying, pasting, and sending to addresses that you're doing it right. Because if you are fast, it can be massive. Like, you can make, 50 Elk maybe easy on a if you send like a 1,000 Elk, if you're able to build that much up. Easy on a trade that's there's a 20 cent difference between chains. No problem.
It sounds complicated, but it sounds like a really nice game to play
too. It is. It is exactly like a game. You find your route. It's kind of a puzzle. Okay, how do I get from this token to this one? And you could practice, you could simulate it for yourself if you wanted, right? You could pretend to send it through these different networks and find your path between each two different coins. Each two chains, sorry, because they'll all be often different paths. You have to know which exchanges have them, and you got to look at your exchanges and make sure the wallet isn't down for maintenance. Another downfall of centralized exchanges.
Oh man!
If you send money in there and their wallet is under maintenance, that money, that token is frozen.
Oh man!
Yeah, so you have to wait till they finish the maintenance for
it. It makes me a little bit nervous, you know, because I don't have that much control.
Yeah.
And it makes me a little bit uncomfortable, actually.
Absolutely. It's an anxiety-provoking experience. Though, if you can do it well and you're paying attention to the price fluctuations, it's going to help a lot, right?
So
it's going to be, you're gonna make some big profits.
So have you had any experiences that you didn't really gain anything and lost? And have you had experiences that you won really big? I mean, I was just trying to make sure that people on our listeners understand that it's not a kind of a game that you always win.
That's right. So, for example, today I sent $1,200 trying to do some arbitrage. I sent it to the WHO exchange, and I used the X-Pollinate bridge to send it to WHO for me to their exchange address. But that method of transfer, they didn't recognize. So now my $1,200 is frozen.
Oh, man.
So that happens. I mean, I think I can get it back, but sometimes you can't, and sometimes it gets stuck.
Okay.
Because you got to make sure you're doing it right. So that's a lesson learned, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I really enjoyed this episode, actually. Yeah. And I learned a lot, because it's another way of taking advantage of the crypto world, in a sense of creating value by just sitting in front of a computer and just basically at an exchange, buying in one chain and selling in another.
Yeah, it's just finding the route. It's a puzzle. And, there are risks. Absolutely there are risks. And especially as you're trying to learn how to do this and you make a mistake, you send it to the wrong place, or, you got to be really careful. Though it's really, really profitable. I've had way more success than I've had drawbacks.
That makes me way feel better.
Way more. It's actually been incredible. So if you've got that capital to play with, and also it's actually what's meant to happen for Elk, because we buy on one chain, Elk on one chain, sell on the other. We even out the prices between chains, and you benefit. So it's a great function of the market. And until we've got bots that are doing this and taking up all the profit, you better get out there and do it if you feel like that's safe. Always do your own research. Always simulate these trades before you do them. Lots of practice before you actually send a substantial amount of tokens. And if you send too much, sometimes the price impact's too high. So it's worth starting at a little bit lower. And you can simulate those different amounts and kind of get the feel for it. But I think even doing that, it can be really, really lucrative. Though, of course, like I said, do your own research. We're going to have an upcoming article here from Roland for the Elk Academy, where he'll be talking about arbitrage. Might be out by the time this podcast is out, but we'll see.
Sounds great. I learned a lot, and I hope our listeners they learned as much as I did, because I always heard the word arbitrage and I was just like, how that can be lucrative? And now I understand how it works, how complicated it is, and why people are doing it.
Exactly. I can start with 100 elk and make by trading it over to 105, and then I send it back to that same place and redo it, you know, and you can just slowly build, and that begins to climb.
Yeah, you know? One of those cold winter weekends when you have nothing to do. You just sit in your basement and just
do it.
Do it over and over and over again. Yeah,
just look for the prices, just practice, and don't even, just simulate it. Don't even really send it, you know. So, I'm going to include a little bit of a route description here in the description of the podcast. Just to kind of show you what that's like. At some point, if you guys want, I can make a little bit of a video demonstrating actually how to do it as well, or some screenshots.
That was what I'm thinking about. That is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and it's going to be different for all the different chains, so I can't do all the possible combinations. Though, look out for the article. I'm going to be talking about this a lot more. And arbitrage gets me really excited because I like elk and I like having all of the elk that I possibly can. And this is a way to make it. So, really appreciate you guys listening. Let us know if you have any feedback. You can get a hold of us at t.me/elk_finance_chat. And I am LT Snake Plissken, and this is Fareed.
Thank you very much for being with us.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks.